Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Some scary transfer updates coming in this morning involving Mateus Fernandes, Marcus Rashford, Tchouaméni. Lots to get into, but it is actually Fabrizio Romano who has dropped a very interesting and somewhat scary update around Fernandes, where many people are shouting fake news. Is it journalism or is it actually helping Jorge Mendes and West Ham drive the price up? Because I felt that the update we had last night was quite positive, where it felt like we were moving away from the Fernandes deal from the middle of last week. Yesterday, it felt like we were back in the race, read between the lines FC. This morning, it's a very definitive update from Fabrizio Romano that doesn't necessarily fill you with confidence. So is it fake news? We'll talk about that in a minute. So he said that basically Fernandes is open to joining either Man United or Tottenham. The player is prepared to move to either club without creating issues on his end. So he has no strong preference that blocks one over the other. Effectively, Mateus Fernandes has no preference at all between Manchester United and Spurs. We'll talk about that in a moment. Both clubs actively engaging with his camp and West Ham through verbal proposals and daily discussions, creating a competitive bidding war dynamic. The key factor will be which club reaches the best financial agreement with West Ham, who are demanding around £85 million, although it could be more. The club offering the strongest proposal to West Ham will likely secure the deal as the player is ready to accept either project. He's open to both. Effectively, it could be more than 85 million. There are attacks every day from Man United and Tottenham with bids being made, but they are verbal bids. And effectively, whoever puts the best financial offer forward to West Ham will win. Look, what I have seen a lot of this morning is people saying Romano's not a journalist. He's a paid influencer who is basically helping West Ham and Jorge Mendes out here. There's no way that Mateus Fernandes is sat there going, I don't mind where I go, let's help West Ham out. So a lot of people are saying that this morning. Welcome to the world of being a football influencer. Welcome to the world of welcome to 2026. Everybody has an opinion. You've got to be thick-skinned. Do I believe that? First and foremost, I've got a big issue with this update this morning. For me, I watched the Romano thing three times and ultimately, and I don't think I'm some sort of footballing genius, I think he is saying that Mateus Fernandes doesn't care about Man United or Tottenham. Whoever gets West Ham the most money, he'll go to. I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Now, that might be what Romano's being told, but I don't believe it. I don't believe a footballer sits there and goes, I'm not really bothered. As long as West Ham get a huge overpayment, I don't really care. Spurs or Man United, it's just really close. Leave me out of it. I can't make any decision. What do you mean leave you out of it? You are literally the most important person in the puzzle. Now, if he chooses Spurs over Man United, we'll have to deal with it. And if he chooses Man United over Spurs, they'll have to deal with it. But I don't for one minute think that Mateus Fernandes is sat there going, I don't mind where I go as long as West Ham get a good fee. I've covered lots of transfers over my life, you know, over 10 years with you on this channel. But like, getting home from school at, you know, 4 o'clock, page 312 on teletext. I did a paper round at 6:30 every morning, reading the backs of the papers. I mean, if I could have a degree in anything, it would be in transfers, as I'm sure many of you are. And I have very rarely heard a transfer where the player goes, yeah, you know what? It's not really to do with me. It's about the selling club. It can be like that sometimes, but I don't get why West Ham have the power in this deal. I don't. And I think Man United will be sat there going, we don't either. It doesn't make any sense why West Ham, who've just been relegated, have the control in this. It's not normal. It isn't normal. Normally, the player has the power. And it seems to me that we're meant to believe that Mateus Fernandes has relinquished that power and said, it's nothing to do with me. Let's leave it to West Ham. So, look, do I think what Romano is putting out there is fake news? No,
I think he's a good football journalist in relation to transfers, as has been proven many times this summer and many times over the years. And when it comes to Manchester United, I know for a fact that if you want news from the club, they will give it to Romano or Ornstein before anybody else. And any journalist will tell you that, and it pisses people off. You know, they will. That's what they do. And he gets information, you know, most people won't get. So you can't dispute the fact that Romano gets very good information. Where he's getting the information from sometimes, I think, can drive a story. Now, I would suspect that George Mendes is involved heavily in this. And I cannot dispute at this point that it feels like this is a money play where people are in it together. Because I do not believe that Matheus Fernandes is sat there going, I don't mind about Spurs or Man United. I feel Matheus Fernandes is saying he doesn't mind about Spurs or Man United because somebody involved is telling him that's your stance. That's your stance. Because if Man United really want you, they'll pay the price that Spurs are paying anyway. So I don't think this is like Mbeumo, where he only wanted Man United. I think this is about a very somewhat intelligent play, you could say, where whoever is involved, and it could well be George Mendes, they are playing the game. And look, he's called a super agent for a reason. He helped us get Yoro. Like, he helped us get Ugarte. If George Mendes is working for you, it can be really good. He was working for PSG. I'll get you João Neves and I'll get you 60 million for Ugarte. It worked. And I think on this deal, it's becoming more and more clear that this is a very concerning update. Very concerning update. And it's effectively sounds like a bidding war. Now, look, I'd love Romano to be wrong. I'd love Romano to be wrong on this. I'd love it to be wrong. And if you're just tuning in, the latest update this morning, in the last couple of hours, is that Matheus Fernandes doesn't care where he goes. What decides this move is who gives West Ham the most money. That is concerning. Of course it is, because we're not in that position of we're Man United. You know, we're in a position of reputation means nothing. You know, it's about who's going to throw up the biggest money. And we don't. That's not something we're strong at doing. We don't like those battles. Some clubs do. Some clubs love it. When it's not about reputation, it's just about money. Manchester City, for the last 15 years, Man City have built an empire on money, not reputation. You know, in them first few years, they couldn't go, we're Man City, they had to spend the money. We have tended to build our reputation over the last few years on we're Manchester United. So if this deal is now about money, then it becomes very interesting, doesn't it? But I would concede this morning, we are in a situation that is very volatile because we can't pull the player only wants his card. And also, it seems to me, I don't know what you think, it seems to me that that has been restricted. It feels to me like that is almost like Matheus Fernandes has been told not to do that. Because, I don't know, but I think surely he prefers Man United over Spurs. But it's almost like it's a tactic from those close to him to say, you do not say where you want to go. Do not allow a journalist or anybody to know that you want to go to Man United because you messed this whole deal up. You don't mind where you're going to go. You probably do want to go to Man United, but let's see if they put the money on the table. You don't mind where you want to go. And that is definitely the story that's out there this morning. He doesn't mind where he wants to go. The person who pays the most money gets the deal. And listening to Romano this morning, there was even talk that West Ham want a minimum of 85 million. It could go more. I mean, somebody in the chat just said, Matheus Fernandes as a marquee signing at £85 million or £80 million is ridiculous. But I don't know. As I said, last night, maybe I'd had a couple of drinks, but I was feeling very confident because the updates were very confident. But I tell you what, though, you know what this goes back to? You know, like in the Spurs community, there's this big argument going on at the moment because they've got these ITK accounts who are saying, don't worry, the deal's done. And we've had it at United over the years. What this morning shows and yesterday shows, this is a very movable situation where there's definitely at no point been any stage where this deal was close. We've never had that. You might not like it, but it's very clear to me, and I'm sure anybody who's had any experience of transfers, that this has never been close. This has never been about, oh, we're winning, they're winning, or anything like that. This is just West Ham and George Mendes in total control of a situation. It's very obvious who's in control here. It's George Mendes and West Ham. Spurs have never been close. We've never been close because we're not in control. They have played this perfectly up to this point, and effectively they have a bidding war. So anyone saying, oh, we're close, we've been close, he's chosen us, bullshit. That is clearly not happened because it's so obvious that what West Ham and George Mendes have done is locked Matheus Fernandes's opinions down. Basically, you know, you can't put a preference out there, otherwise you mess it up for everybody. You would go either place, leave the rest to us. So he can still sign for Man United. He can still sign for Spurs. But it's very obvious that we ain't never been close to this deal. And neither have Spurs. Because why have Spurs not put the bid in? Why have we not put the bid in? Because neither of us are in control. It doesn't mean we won't get him. I'm not saying we're not going to get him. But I think I've had an awakening this morning on that Romano update and a couple of others that this is out of our control. I think we would love it to be in our control. It's out of our control. Should Man United pay the money? I mean, I saw a story. Look, the problem we've got, and Emily Derry said this, and a couple of others have said it as well. I think Patrick said it as well. The problem we have is that if you walk away, and some people in the chat are saying we should walk away. Stuart's just said it there. If we walk away and we go for Tonali, Newcastle want £100 million because Elliot Anderson went for 116. If you go to Alex Scott, Bournemouth want £75 million because that's what Matheus Fernandes is going for. And are they wrong? Are Bournemouth wrong to say £75 million for Alex Scott when Matheus Fernandes is going to go for the same, you know? And Mecha, Newcastle were looking at him. Update this morning, they're not going near him because Dortmund want 100 million euros. Everywhere you go, you are going to get your pants pulled down now. Now, if we'd done deals before Anderson, that might not have happened. I think, and you know, personally, I think Ederson should have just been binned until July because his price was never changing. 1 year left of his contract, £40 million is quite a lot of money. We always would have done that deal. Personally, I think everybody is waking up to the fact that we should have done a big deal at the start of the summer because doing deals after Anderson has inflated the market and we should have had a big deal lined up. But look, Matthew says walk away. I think if you walk away, you're walking away to a similar problem. Personally, and you can take it as a positive or a negative, personally, I believe all roads lead to Tchouaméni. I know some people think it's Belaba, but Belaba will be overpriced as well because Brighton don't really want to sell him. And if United knock on the door and say, we want Belaba, Belaba will want to come to us, but Brighton won't want to sell him. So the price will be big. I think all doors lead to Tchouaméni. As we've been saying for months, you know, we've held talks with Tchouaméni's side in March. He's open to coming to us if Real Madrid sell him. Real Madrid probably would be quite reasonable. It's a strange situation, but big clubs tend to be more reasonable than smaller clubs. You know, look at West Ham, relegated. We want 85 million for Matheus Fernandes. I think Real Madrid, if they get the midfielders they want, would probably let us have Tchouaméni for about 70. So you're getting more, you know, if Tonali is 100 and Elliot Anderson is 116 and Matheus Fernandes is 80, and Alex Scott is 70, you're probably quite comfortable playing 70 or 80 for Tchouaméni in that market. And I think Real Madrid will do that. They might say 100, but he's only got 2 years left on his contract. They want to sell him. I think, and we've got a good relationship with Real Madrid. So look, I think that personally, I was quite in love with the idea of getting a Matheus Fernandes and a Tchouaméni and Ederson being our third midfielder. But the problem we've got is that Real Madrid aren't at the table with Tchouaméni at the moment and probably won't be for another month because of the World Cup and they haven't got the players that they want. I think all paths do lead to Tchouaméni, that's what I think. But would I walk away from Matheus Fernandes? I don't think we can, you know? I wouldn't be there anyway. I'll answer the question. I wouldn't have been there anyway. I wouldn't be at this table now. I wouldn't be there with Matheus Fernández in this situation. It's not the player I would go for as our marquee signing, so I wouldn't even be there. I'd be at the table with Tonali. I'd be at the table with somebody else. I wouldn't be there. But in the situation that United have created themselves, where they've publicly made it very clear that Matheus Fernández is their marquee deal, and they haven't walked away, and they've already missed out on Diamande and Anderson and Tonali and Bruno Guimarães.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I feel that they put themselves in a really difficult situation. They have to do this deal because if they walk away from it, where's this ambitious, we're going to win the league in the next 2 years? And also, the big thing is that we already know Matheus Fernández is plan C at best. So if you walk away from him for your marquee signing, you're down to plan D. So I think United have put themselves in a really difficult situation. And the scary thing for them is that West Ham and Jorge Mendes clearly have the power. And we're certainly not going to get market value. And, you know, we hear all these stories from journalists who are clearly being told stuff by the club about United will only pay market value. You're not going to get market value here. So you're in a situation where you walk away and face the consequences of that, which is a big loss, or you overpay and take the loss financially, which they won't like. So as I said yesterday, there will be panic. The only solace at the moment is that Spurs don't seem to have the bravado. We thought they did. They don't seem to be the club that's going, there's 250 grand a week for Matheus Fernández and there's £80 million in cash up front for Spurs. Because that's a big thing as well. Romano said that. He said, it's not just about what people offer. Man United might offer £85 million paid over 6 years if he, you know, with a load of add-ons. Spurs might offer £70 million, but it goes to the club now. And West Ham might fancy that more than one with a load of add-ons. So I do think at the moment it's interesting that Spurs haven't dropped this big money that apparently they were going to do in the middle of last week. But it's a bidding war. It's a bidding war, isn't it? I mean, Fabrizio Romano says Matheus Fernández has no preference and it's a bidding war. Let's see what happens next. Give me your thoughts. The one thing I said I would come back to before we move on to the Rashford story is if Matheus Fernández genuinely doesn't have a preference between Man United and Spurs, should we walk away? If it was, you know, if Spurs was Arsenal, would you have a problem with it? You'd be like, Arsenal have just won the league, they've got to the Champions League final, they've got a better squad, they're a better team, and he doesn't mind whether it's us or Arsenal. I'd be quite comfortable with that because I'd be thinking, well, he's not choosing Arsenal over us. So I wouldn't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the player not being all in on Man United. I think that that's such a ridiculous notion in 2026. I mean, look, if we were in the race for Vinicius Jr. and PSG wanted him and, Man City wanted him, I wouldn't expect him to go and I only want Man United. He's a top player and he's probably going to go to the project that's best for him. You know, I think it's quite normal for a player not to necessarily have a huge preference and to be interested in multiple projects. I think this Man United bullshit of we're only going to go for players that want Man United. Well, what if a shit player only wants Man United? It doesn't say anything about their talent, does it? I'd rather go for a really good player that's undecided on Man United and Arsenal than go for a shit player who only wants Man United. So it depends on the player, doesn't it? It's not I think United try and promote this whole, oh, he only wants United, but it doesn't matter. It's how good the player is. However, does it change the situation if he's undecided between Man United and Spurs? Yes. It doesn't mean I don't want the player. It means why. What it means to me is I don't not want Matheus Fernández because he's undecided between us and Spurs. I want to know why he's undecided between us and Spurs, because the way I look at it, you'd only ever go Man United. You ask an Arsenal fan, you'd only ever go Man United. You ask a Liverpool fan, begrudgingly, they'd say you'd only go Man United. So why is he undecided between Man United and Spurs? And is that a worry? Does the Spurs project actually sound as appealing as ours? Is it because of the coach? Is it because of the players? Is it because of the project? I don't know. So it doesn't seem right to me. I personally believe he wants Man United. I've got no information on that. I just do not think a footballer can sit there and go, I don't mind between two clubs. If you ask me Real Madrid or Barcelona, I wouldn't say I don't mind. I like both, but I know where it'd go. If you said to me, I'm trying to think of, you know, if you said to me Bayern Munich or PSG, I wouldn't say I don't mind. I know which one I'd pick. They're both, what I'm saying is, you've always got a preference. And I couldn't think of two clubs with bigger contrast than Man United and Spurs. I just don't think you'd sit there and go, I don't mind. I really don't mind. So I think there's a game going on. And we don't like these games, but this is football. Man United have distanced themselves from these games for years. We don't like transfers where it's competitive. We like an easy ride. And I tell you what, it's going to be a very interesting ride over the next few hours and days, because I actually had hoped this morning when we had that Ben Jacobs update late on. And if I'll remind you of what Ben Jacobs said. He basically said Man United and Spurs are awaiting a decision from Fernandes on which club he only wants to join. The chosen club will then be in a stronger position. West Ham are holding firm on an 80 to 85 million asking price, thanks to recent cash injection that lessens their need for an immediate sale. Fernandes has not committed, and while United's interest predates Spurs, the situation remains fluid with potential for other clubs to re-enter, such as Arsenal, PSG and Real Madrid. So, yeah. It's a funny one. And remember, he's not at the World Cup either. He's not at the World Cup. So look, I'd say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it looked like he was going to Spurs. Yesterday, it felt like we were back in the race. And today, it looks like West Ham are, you know, West Ham and George Mendes are in control here. And yeah. Yeah. As I said, I can only speak for myself, but I try and avoid social media around this deal because it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Spurs in the know, no fucking nothing. Man United in the know, no fucking nothing. And to be fair, journalists know nothing. And they're admitting it. They don't know. They're like, we don't know where he's going to go. We don't know what's going to happen. He's got to make his mind up. West Ham have got to make their mind up. And that's where we are. You've got to try and deal with that uncertainty of we're not in control and we don't know what's going to happen. And nobody does. Third midfielder is a must after Ugarte's injury, says Razzler. Well, second midfielder would be nice first. I can't understand how United have significant appeal over Spurs. Some are ready to attack Fernandes' character if he chooses Spurs. Champions League is the argument. Glinyard's strategy means as likely he could play Champions League long-term at Spurs. Well, you know what, Pengers? I don't think the Champions League is the reason he should choose Manchester United, because if I was Spurs, I would say a year ago then, Mateus, you'd have chose us over Man United because we were in the Champions League and they'd finished 15th. Look at situation 12 months. Your first 12 months could be what happened last year. Spurs in a relegation race, Man United in third place. Last season means nothing, Mateus. It's about the project. If Man United are selling you, if you're going to Man United because of the Champions League and we're not in the Champions League, we're very confident we will be in the Champions League after a good season with you this year. Can Man United say that? And that's the thing, isn't it? The evidence is there. This time last year, Chelsea, Newcastle, Spurs, all in the Champions League. Man United, an embarrassment. A year later, none of those are in the Champions League and we're in third. So the project's very important. You're right. This reminds me a little like the De Jong situation. Spurs got an agreement with West Ham, and as far as I know, not with the player. Otherwise, Spurs would have bid already, says Slow Sports News. Vanu Varan says, I'd bid 120 million for Tchouaméni and Camavinga, 155 million for three midfielders with a slightly higher outlay. VIR says, even if we get Fernandes now, I suspect all the stuff that's gone on social media will leave a bitter taste in the supporter's mouth. Just hope it goes through and he plays well enough to win us over. Oh, so you're basically saying that if he signs for us now, it's not as an exciting deal as it could have been. So there'll be a bit of uncertainty around him. Well, look, if he signs for Man United, he's under pressure anyway. He's a 21-year-old who's going to be our marquee signing replacing Casemiro. So he's walking into a difficult job anyway. Morning, Mark. United's into walk away tactics have been embarrassing, but if the price truly is 85 million plus, I would prefer to walk away and go sign two or three midfielders, says David. Look, my issue with the price is that if Man United want him, you have to pay the price to get the player that you want. I think in football, I don't believe in walking away on fee if it's the player that you want. I don't mind if Man City have slightly overpaid. I don't mind if Liverpool slightly overpay for Yann Diomande because they're getting the player that they've scouted and they want. My problem is, why are we bidding anywhere near £80 million for Matheus Fernandes when you could spend another 15 to get Tonali? That's always been my problem. Emily Derry says, a transfer is essentially a big career life decision. No way Fernandes is sitting there without an opinion. However, that will be very different to the message his agent is putting out there. I completely agree, Emily. And Jimmy says, morning, Mark. Why would Fernandes prioritise United when United have made it as clear as day? Tchouaméni is the dream signing unless we want to get both. Interesting take. And Marlowe says, from what I've seen, Fernandes, he drips of small club mentality. He will never succeed at Old Trafford. Let Spurs have him. People starting to turn. I don't mind either club equals mercenary, says Spaniard. United should avoid this guy like the plague. And Sound Dog says, Coxie must be sweating having to do some real work. It is a bit strange, actually, how we've ended up in a situation where we're in a bidding war with Spurs for a relegated West Ham player who's only 21. When you know, sometimes you can almost AI summarise the situation. And when you put it like that, would I have been comfortable in April if our big marquee signing was going to be a bidding war with Spurs for a West Ham relegated midfielder at 85 million who is 21. And I think I would have said, no, that's not the criteria I was looking for. I was looking for somebody who was probably around their mid-20s, proven Champions League player who comes into the midfield and, you know, instantly has an impact and people like Mainoo look up to for about 100 million quid. West Ham and Mendes have been in control of this deal from the start. They grabbed hold of the narrative when they released that story of the 80 million price tag hours after relegation, says Emily Derry. Yeah, yeah. And you know what, Emily? I think that's another indication of how badly United, how bad Man United are at transfers, because if we can be manipulated like this by West Ham, you know, this is, you're right. At no point have we had control of this conversation. At no point have we been in control of this, and at no point have we been close to getting this deal done. We have been second fiddle to West Ham from day one. You're right. That 80 million price tag was ridiculous, and it's been allowed to stick. I don't get how Mendes having United pants pulled down after years of buying players from his agency, says Razzler. George Mendes is out for George Mendes, isn't he? He's a fantastic agent, obviously, but we've not always had the best relationship with him under the Glazers. Real Madrid haven't always had the best relationship with him. They do again now because Mourinho's there. So Mendes will go where the money is. He's not loyal to Man United. He's loyal to his clients and he's loyal to the club that pays him the most money. And, you know, he's very good at what he does, but what money are we making for Mendes this summer? None. We're not selling any players for Mendes. He will go where the money is. And the money is how much he can get out of Man United. Because if we were selling Mainoo and Mendes was involved, he'd do this for us. But we're not selling anybody. He's a seller. He's an agent for the seller. And he's there to make money. What's he going to get out of Man United? Oh, I like you. Well, West Ham are going to give me 10, 15 million quid, you know? Hi, Mark. Can you wish my mum, Claudette, a happy birthday? She loves the channel and thinks you're hilarious. It's Nick A. Thank you very much. And happy birthday to Claudette. Hope you're having a great day and enjoy it. Let's talk about... Raven's just given us a super chat as well. Don't be surprised if West Ham becomes a new Wolves with lots of Portuguese players when Fernandes moves to Tottenham. Move on to Scott, says Raven. I mean, I prefer Scott to Matheus Fernandes anyway. And I've been saying that all along. And I know it's niche, but I do. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think all roads lead to Tchouaméni, as I've said. VIR says, I agree Matheus is walking into a difficult job regardless, but don't you think if he performs badly, the supporters will use this as a stick to beat him with? Mendes is creating a toxic situation. Yeah, but he won't have a toxic situation at Spurs. Yeah, I don't think he'll have a problem if he goes to Spurs, will he? Let's talk about Marcus Rashford anyway this morning. I felt like there was something else on that, but maybe it'll come back to me. But yeah, just on the midfield, I mean, look, let's wait and see. I do believe that United are not performing that well in this transfer window at the moment. And we've seen that with the walking away from players, etc., and what's going on with Fernandes. But I do believe, like Varane, like Casemiro, there's a deal to be done with Real Madrid for Tchouaméni. We have a good reputation with, we have a good relationship with Real Madrid. And, you know, financially, I think there's a lot more market value in Tchouaméni than there is out of some of these players that, that we're being linked to at the moment. So let's just wait and see. What I would say about Tchouaméni is it's not going to resolve itself anytime soon because he's going to be playing in the World Cup for at least another 3 weeks. So it could be a long one on Tchouaméni, but I still do think that that's something to cling on to if this one doesn't happen. But let's wait and see. Just on Marcus Rashford, should Marcus Rashford... Well, let's run a poll. You know, let's have a bit of interactivity here. Should Rashford come back to United? Yes or no? Let me know your thoughts. So the reason I'm asking you this morning is that Harry Maguire's not got a lot to do at the moment. He's been selling stickers and doing stuff with Curries. And he said this about Marcus Rashford. Welcome Marcus Rashford back. Of course, I have an amazing relationship with Rashi and I have some great times with him over the years. I know what a wonderful player he can be. I'm sure it's up to the club and up to Marcus to find a mutual agreement. Of course, if he does come back, we want him to come back and play and be happy and confident. It needs to be right for him. It needs to be right for the club. But everyone knows what a great player Marcus can be for whatever club he plays for next season. So a very political answer there from Harry Maguire. He's basically saying if he comes back, great. But, you know, if he doesn't come back, great for Marcus. Let's wait and see what happens. The club and him need to find a solution.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Look, I watched England last night and it's interesting because I thought Rashford's performance last night for England wasn't how he's been playing for Barcelona. At times, it was just like he wouldn't get his head up and pass. And at times, he was our best player on the pitch. And I was sort of like, that reminds me of the Rashford at Man United where he's sometimes almost frustratingly not getting his head up because he's so obsessed with scoring. But when he gets his head up, like he has for Barcelona, you know, if you watch Rashford play for Barcelona, he's been doing really well as an all-round winger. You know, he does look for the pass, he does look for the cross, and sometimes he'll shoot. Whereas for England last night and sometimes for Man United, he gets into that headset of, I've got to score. And that led to a lot of frustration with the United fans towards the end. So whilst I thought Rashford has played well at the World Cup, I saw last night and I was like, I don't know whether that's a good thing to bring back to Man United, that type of a winger. And, you know, you can understand why Rashford was doing that last night because it's his chance to start for England and prove he's better than Anthony Gordon. And, you know, I wouldn't want him to come back to Man United and feel like he's got to prove again and then he's keeping hold of the ball too much. If he was going to come back, I'd want the Barcelona Rashford, which has been more mature, more of a team player. And I think that's an important thing as well because, you know, Rashford for me in his early days, in his early years, was one of my favourite players. In the latter years, I found him a little bit frustrating, a little bit like Antony, a little bit like Garnacho, where it was the constant shooting and, you know, an attack dies because they don't play the pass. That would be a problem if he came back and played like that. If he came back and played like he did for Barcelona, where he's a more creative player as well as the goals, then I think that's a different proposition. There's definitely going to be a conversation between the club and Marcus Rashford about a return. And it doesn't matter what I think, you think, Harry Maguire thinks, that's going to be about what they want to do. My big concern, And I would say this to Rashford, if he wanted to talk, I would say this to you, as which I'm about to say, and I would say to the club as well, is that sometimes as fans, we know the world a little bit better than a player or a club. And if they sit in a room and say, yeah, let's do it, I would like to sit in that room and just say, okay, it's great that you've sorted it out, but can I just say one thing, right? You don't control this conversation. You can sit there and say Rashford's back and, you know, everyone can be really happy, but the minute we go to Brentford and he has a bad game and we lose, people are like, why have we brought him back? The minute he doesn't track back and we concede a goal, you know, the trouble with coming back, it's like getting back in a relationship, isn't it? You could be in a relationship with someone you love for 10 years and then you have a bad year, you break up, it's over. And then 2 years later, you're in a club, you see each other, oh, it's like old times, you get back together. Give it 6 months, the old problems will come back again and you'll be like, why did we do that? So that is my concern about Rashford coming back to Man United. Whoever gets a clean start, when does it ever go that well? Even Ronaldo, it went wrong. So I just don't know that, you know, he'd have to be brilliant every week because one bad performance or mistake or anything like that and half the fan base that don't want him back will be on him. The media will be on him, you know. And I think that's the thing that worries me, is that getting back together is always great for the first couple of weeks, but what about the next 2 years? And also, he's on a massive wage. The wage will be a thing. Why is he playing badly? Why, you know, I worry about that. But what I also would say is, if we don't buy a left winger, he's a left winger, you know? So I don't know. As I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I'm sort of conflicted on this. The risks are very clear. Very clear. And they do concern me. But we haven't got an out-and-out left winger. And it doesn't look like we've got a lot of money either. So would it not be stupid to say, no, under no circumstances should we bring him back? Look, ultimately, if he comes back, it's an indication of how shit this club is that we actually have to bring people back. You know, not many clubs would do this. And this is no dig at Rashford, but it's a dig at the club. If we bring him back, it just shows you what a shit show this is, because a year ago, he was part of the bomb squad and he was a problem. And people were applauding the club for getting rid of problems like Antony and Garnacho and Rashford and Rasmus and everyone else. If we bring him back, they look like fucking idiots because they took the praise for removing him and then they're bringing him back on the same big wage that they were applauded for getting rid of him. Realistically, I would like to see Rashford get his move to Barcelona and Man United to buy Diamande. But, you know, that's not going to happen, is it? So, look, I think it's an admission of failure on the part of the board if they bring Rashford back. But that's not Rashford's fault. We should be moving on and buying a new winger. If we don't, it reflects badly on the club, in my opinion. But, as I said, if you can get the Barcelona Rashford for the next 3 years... it's better than not having a winger, isn't it? So I'm conflicted on it. I am conflicted on it because what we should be doing as a big club is moving forward. What we should be doing as a big club is moving on. But I don't know. What I think will happen is that he'll end up at Barcelona. That's what I think will happen. I think that's where he wants to go. I think Barcelona would like to have him. And I think United would like to remove the wage. So I don't think ultimately anybody really wants to get back together, but doesn't mean it won't happen. And also, when you look at Rashford and you look at Anthony Gordon, you do wonder why they've done that. You really do wonder why they've done that. So I still think Barcelona is everybody's preferred option. What do you think about Mainoo not starting for England? I mean, I don't support England to support Man United, if that makes sense. I didn't really have a problem with Harry Maguire not being picked for England. It would have been nice, but you know, that's not why I watch England. And I don't watch England so that Mainoo starts. So Declan Rice is better than Mainoo, Anderson's better than Mainoo, Bellingham's better than Mainoo. I did have a problem with Jordan Henderson coming on instead of him, but you know, this is the problem, isn't it? When I said this at the start of the, I think it was April, people had a pop at me. And I said, look, I'm pleased for Maynou if he gets picked for England. But from a Man United point of view, he's had a really difficult season. Half the season he was sat on the bench and half the season he started every game. And he's still only 20, I think. On a Man United personal level, I would have preferred he didn't get picked for England and he had a summer like Rashford had a few years ago where, you know, he's recuperating, he's putting the work in, he's fit and ready to hit the start of the season. At the moment, he's with an England squad where he's not played a minute, not having a rest. So that's what I think this morning. If Maynou was playing for England, it's different. The fact that he's sat on a bench, not getting a rest, and you look at our midfield, and our midfield's a fucking joke, I would have been much happier if our only midfielder that I know is going to start for the first game of the season was having a rest. But I'm not that bothered about him not starting for England because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not sure he should be starting for England. I'd have expected him to get a few more minutes. But yeah, he's only just turned 21. He was 21 in April. So yeah, I think hopefully he can still get some minutes in the World Cup. But I'd have been happier if he'd have had the summer off, to be honest. Daniel Thompson says, hi Mark and the United Stand, hope all well, great watch alongs last night. Yeah, sorry I didn't say that at the start. The reason we did an 11 o'clock show this morning because I was up till about 3 o'clock this morning watching Colombia Portugal. Oh my god, just a reminder, World Cup watch, what the fuck. I mean, I want to just say, like, it's great being right, but Roberto Martinez is a shit coach. I've always said it. He's the Spanish Southgate. And you, if you watch Portugal and you watch Bruno for Manchester United, what a waste. You know, Maynou sat on the bench might be a waste, but Bruno's not having it any better. The way Portugal used Bruno Fernandes and Vitinha and João Neves is a joke. It's an absolute joke. They are so boring. You wouldn't believe it if you watch Portugal and then you watch Bruno play for Man United. At Man United, it's get the ball to Bruno, isn't it? Get the ball to Bruno, get the ball to Bruno. And you end up with the Premier League's top assister. For Portugal, they just don't want to find him. It's not about that at all. It's about going down the wing and trying to find the perfect cross for Ronaldo, basically. But Colombia were impressive. Anyway, that's why I started at 11. Which reminds me, the schedule for today is 7 o'clock Sunday night show because 8 o'clock I'm doing the first World Cup knockout game on That's Football. So 7 o'clock tonight. Fernandez said he wanted first team football. If Tonali goes to Tottenham, he will come to us and vice versa, says Chris. Why would he not play with Tonali in their midfield? I get the feeling that De Zerbi doesn't like that midfield very much of Conor Gallagher and Bentancur and Bissouma and, well, what's his name? Polina's going, Bergvall's going. I mean, Bergvall's an option. Bergvall's still an option. I mean, it would be very strange if Matheus Fernandes went to Tottenham and we bought Bergvall from Tottenham, but still an option. Hi Mark and United Stand, says Daniel. If there is a chance of making your dream come true, you don't want to wait for it to happen. You seize it. It's up to United to ask the question, as Tchouaméni is the answer to what we need the most. Thank you very much. Barca Rashi is overrated. He missed at least 20 1v1s against keeper. Most of his goals and assists are from the bench or against bad teams, says Stig. And Emily Derry says, rightly or wrongly, Rashford is a big fish in a small pond at United. His wage and profile puts him in Bruno territory, and he played his best when he was just under that, chasing something, says Emily Derry. Yeah, if he comes back, he'll be Man United's second biggest best player on wage to Bruno. In fact, I think he'd be on more money than Bruno. I think he'd be the top earner, wouldn't he? He might be the top earner if he comes back. I don't know. Ying says, morning Mark, if you could decide either Tchouaméni and Lemons type signing or Fernandes and Scott. I think I'd go Tchouaméni, mate. I think we need that aura experience in the midfield. Benjamin says, to replace Rashford with a better player, you're looking at over 100 million based on Gordon and we won't pay that. And Raven says, don't be surprised if West... I've done that one, haven't I? Thank you very much. 68% of you are no to bringing Rashford back and 32% of you are yes. Interesting this morning there with your thoughts. Let me just have a quick look around. Um, Do you think we'll get anything this morning? Considering there's only 8 minutes, no. Sorry, I'm just having a quick look there. What I would say is, and this is only on experience, and I'm sure many of you have this experience as well, it feels like with Matheus Fernández, there's two outcomes. One, we're about to get a very big development. Or two, West Ham are going to keep this rolling on and on because they're in control. And what I mean by that is, it feels like either Tottenham or Man United are going to win this race very, very soon. Or West Ham are going to keep it rolling and rolling because they feel that the price keeps going higher the longer it goes, and maybe a PSG or a Real Madrid come in as well. So, you know, that's what I think. Refresh, everyone. I'm still here. Thank you, everybody, for watching this morning. We are back at 7 o'clock unless something happens before. Take care. Have a great day. I'll speak to you on the next one. Thank you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.